Well, you already seated, but if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to a scripture that I read quite frequently, but it just fits with what's going on today. John 10:10. So start off my whole day before all the stuff that's happened. Today we had the homegoing service for one of the kids who grew up in our youth group. Grew up in the youth group, he was the kind of kid that, let's just put it this way. If something mischievous happened in the youth group, Opie either did it or he dared somebody to do it. And just a wonderful kid, turned into a fine young man. And I guess one of the most proudest moments in recent memory, a few short years ago in my life, was he kind of had got away from some of the things of God, some of the things of his teaching. And on a Sunday morning, he came right down here and marched out front. He didn't have to, because he knew how to ask for forgiveness, but he wanted to make a public commitment in front of his church. He came down here, rededicated his life. Only one that came down that morning and made me cry. But the thing about it, I'm just tired of bearing kids that grew up in our youth group. Right. I mean, he's not the first one, and hopefully he's the last. But young people should live their life out to the fullest. And I know God had more things for him. And I said he was in my office maybe 2 months ago, just telling me about how things were just coming around. Things were coming around to the best place he's been in a long time. He was happy. He apologized for some more stuff he did, which you don't apologize, man. He's just that kind of person, He said he was a little stupid. But, this we're all stupid sometimes. We all do stupid things. Anyway, it says, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. And I have come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. And I always point out, everyone always uses the scripture and talk about the abundant life, and great, I'm glad for your abundant life, and I'm glad to have it. But my big thing is, and this is actually a scripture verse that the Lord gave me about 12 years ago, and it said that I need to continue to harp on, because so many people don't realize the thief is out to get us on a daily basis. In reading this from the New Living Translation, it says this: the thief's purpose is to steal and to kill and to destroy, but my purpose is to give them a rich, satisfying life. And so we understand Jesus' purpose. But the thief's purpose, what he was meant for in life and what he's been doing ever since Genesis 1:1, was to destroy mankind. And it seems, here lately, in the last few years, that he's been really hitting young people hard. Because he wants to take out the young generation. That's one reason that I've always felt the calling to minister to young people, to youth, to young adults, because I believe that, that's where the greatest move of God will come next. Of course, we have that in the Bible. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 tells us this. It says, Acts chapter 2 in verse 17 says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." It's pretty plain that God is calling young people.
That's right.
His hand is on young people to go out and do something for him. And it's interesting when you see that young men shall see visions, and old men shall dream dreams. And what's the difference between a dream and a vision? A dream is something that you dream and don't see, but a vision is something that you dream and you see later on. So I encourage you to have visions, don't dream dreams. I know this is kind of a bad joke, but I'm saying, what if Martin Luther King had a vision sermon instead of I had a dream? We should have a vision. Dream is something that we dream and don't see. Vision is something we watch come to pass. And, as you're older, obviously some people won't see things come to pass. The devil's out to get us. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that we need to be afraid and never get out of our house? No, it doesn't mean that. But it means that we have to always be on guard. And we have to continue to make sure that our kids and our grandkids and our loved ones always continue to be on guard as well. Now, the one thing that my mom always taught me really well was to claim the 91st Psalm over myself every day, and I don't have time to read there, but if there's one scripture about protection, it's the 91st Psalm. Yes. And you know, and I encourage you to read that. In fact, I remember a story one day. I was you know, left home alone, kind of like Macaulay Culkin, you know, for days. No, what wasn't that bad? My mom went to the grocery store. Was only gone for you know, short time, maybe a half hour, maybe an hour at the most. The grocery store was two blocks away. I could walk there if I really wanted to. But you know, I decided, me and my friend Michael, we have a trampoline in our backyard, jumping on a trampoline, and said, "Mom, you go to the grocery store. I don't want to go." You know, see, a lot of times I want to go because the rule is if I go to the grocery store, I get a toy. You know, there was a toy aisle, so, you know, I always get a toy or a game or something. But he was only with like a Hot Wheels car. I used to collect Hot Wheels cars, so it really wasn't like I got a huge toy or anything. So it wasn't worth the Hot Wheels car, you know. Mom didn't have to spend a dollar that day or 99 cents, whatever it costs. You know, I decided to jump on the trampoline. Me and Michael were having a good time. And so we came back in the house and had them. My mom wasn't back yet. My dad was still at work. Not sure where my sister was. She wasn't there. I don't know where she was. But that's another story. Anyway, so all of a sudden, there was some guy at the front door, like banging on the door, you know. And I really couldn't tell what he looked like because, you know, back there, this was late 70s or whatever. And we had these, and we didn't have like a clear window you could see out. And we didn't have a peephole on our door. We had these like stained, like yellow or orange stained thing. Anyone remember that kind of stuff? I mean, and the sides of our door. And we never had, for whatever reason, we didn't have a peephole. Because most of the time, although it wasn't this time, but most of the time, We had a normal door, and then we had like a screen door that was, it wasn't a screen like a mesh screen. It was a screen, you know, like a glass screen. So a glass door, and usually our doors open, the glass door was there, you know. I mean, people didn't really mess around that, but it was closed. My mom had locked the door. This guy had beaten on the door, and then, you know, so me and Michael, we go over to the, you know, trying to look and see who, you know, I don't know if it was someone who needed help or what. All I know that fear hit me. And so didn't know what to do. You understand, we don't have cell phones back in those days, all right? I mean, you know, the best we could do is smoke signals or something like that. There's no texting, no talking, no, you know. I might have had a CB radio upstairs, you know, so if Mom had a CB radio on hand, she might have, could have, you know, because I had a walkie-talkie and I had three CB channels actually on my walkie-talkie, and I could talk to truckers, And I did sometimes just to be, because we're bored. So what do we do? I mean, you know, I guess I could go up in my room and hide or something, but I didn't know really what to do. So I went over and got the bookshelf, got the family Bible, and turned it to the 91st Psalm and began to read. I read it out loud to Michael. I mean, you know, and I said, we're going to read the 91st Psalm because, you know, I knew to do that. We talked about, you know, angels get protection over us and things like that. By the time I finished the 91st Psalm, the guy was gone. So, now, he might not have needed anything. You know, maybe it was just someone who needed, I don't know. But the thing about it is, it was kind of scary for me. And I'm not sure exactly how old I was. But, I mean, I was old enough to know to get the Bible. And that's the point, you know, what do we do whenever, you know, we go through things? And you know, all the times of fear sometimes come, times we don't know what to do, but you know what, we had the 91st Psalm. And like I said, you know, Dad and Mom, you know, they're always, you know, about that. And you know, of course, this terrorist attack happened. And I'll tell you a story that I haven't told anybody yet. My mom's out, kept asking if I wanted to go to Israel, and I didn't know for sure if I was going to go, and originally going to be in Dubai anyway, and going to maybe swing over there. And I had a dream one night that I was there and a bomb went off. Nothing happened to me. I was, you know, I was okay, but, you know, just was kind of startled me. I woke up and came to work and told my mom, says, I'm not going to Israel. No, does it mean anything? I don't know. Could I have too much pizza? I don't know. The fact of the matter is my mom's also said that I, you know, that was kind of place I'd probably be hanging out with, you know, if I had an opportunity, you know, and I know I read people, you know, last minute souvenirs is kind of a thing I normally do a lot of times. And I don't know if I would have been there or not. I don't know. Don't have a clue. But, you know, I do believe in the leading of the Spirit. Amen. Amen. And we read this. We read this, I guess, about a week ago when I ministered. You know, for as many as are led by the Spirit, they are these are the sons of God. And if you're a son or a daughter of God, that's Romans 8:14, then we should be led by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
We should be led by the Spirit of God. And we live in a generation. We live in a world, I think, is you know, that we have to ever be led by the Spirit of God. Now, we have to understand the devil. The reason we have to be led is because the devil is out to get us.
Right.
You know, he's out to get us. He's out to kill, steal, and destroy. He's out to end our life early. He's out to put pain and hurt on our life, whether it be physical, mental, emotional, you know, spiritual, whatever. I mean, he's out to destroy you in every way he can destroy you. And we have to understand that. You know, one thing we have the verse, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Everyone know that verse?
Yes.
But I'm going to give you, Craig, you know, I'm going to give you one of the verses of Craig. Not sure I know my own book. But you know, identify the devil. You realize you can't resist something you can't identify?
Right.
If you don't identify that the devil's at work, you can't resist.
Yeah.
And so many times we don't even realize the devil is at work in this situation. Either we're oblivious, I don't know how many times that my wife and I have been you know, sitting there talking about a certain thing and said, you know what, the devil's just attacking our family. You know, and I understand that's a continual thing that happens, and I always take it as a compliment, really, because if the devil's attacking you, then there must be something great you're going to do. All right, God has great things for you. He has great plans. If he's attacking, the more he attacks, the more you understand that God has great plans for you.
Yes.
And instead of getting out, but understand, is what do we do when we're attacked? And the Bible says that no weapon formed against us shall prosper.
Right.
So when we're attacked, you know, we get rid of that weapon. I mean, it might hit, but it's not going to prosper.
That's right.
But we have to understand that the devil is on the attack. Now, do you realize, you know, the majority of the spiritual tools that we have are all defensive? You know, our helmet, our shield. It was only the sword of the Spirit.
That's right.
It was the Word of God.
Yes.
So what happens when the devil attacks? We need to come out with it's written.
That's right.
This is what the Bible says.
Right.
And the Bible, you know, the Bible says this. The Bible says I'm more than a conqueror. The Bible says I'm victorious in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, if God be for me, who cares who's against me? You know, know what the Word of God says. And we have to know what God's Word says. We need to know the promises of God that we have.
Amen.
We understand that God does promise us abundant life through Jesus Christ. You know, but understand, all things go together when he says promise abundant life through Jesus Christ. That's why we can do all things through Christ. But if you don't have the mind of Christ, then you're probably not doing all things. That's why we have to, you know, renew our mind day by day. That's why we have to put the old man under. That's why we have to really, really mean the WWJD instead of just wearing it on a bracelet, on a coffee mug or whatever, you know, because so many times that we have words that don't mean anything. Now, WWJD, for some of you that don't know, that means what would Jesus do? A lot of people had bumper stickers and they wouldn't do what Jesus did. So, you know, I was falling behind one guy watched him. I'm being honest. I watched him hit WWJD and he flipped the guy off and was cussing at him. I just laughed and thought, guess he doesn't really know what Jesus would do. He must not know Jesus. Do you know, the thing that offends me, you don't know Jesus. If you're not going to do it, if you're going to actually, you know, think about that, but you're not going to do what he did. You must not know your Savior.
Right.
You must not know his nature.
Right.
But man, the devil's out to get us. Every day. That's his purpose in life. And I understand that. You know, when the Lord gave me this revelation, I understand that every day the devil, his purpose in life is to go out and get me and my family. If he can't get me, he wants to get my family. Understand that we continue to pray for protection. Now, that doesn't mean you can't enjoy life. Now, you know, obviously you know that we like race cars. I mean, that's something we do, and racing can be dangerous. So we do a couple of things. First of all, we don't scrimp on safety equipment. All right, we buy all the safety equipment, you know, because you know what? You know, we want to do everything in natural. Secondly, we never go on the track without you know, claiming 91st time without praying for protection, not only for the drive for my son, but all the drivers on the track and all the officials and all the people out there, because you know what? It's important. It's important. You know, but also I've always told my son and continue to tell him, if there is a reason if there's a reason that you feel that you need to pull off the track because you just don't feel you want to be in this race or something bad's going to happen, then pull off.
Yeah.
I mean, so what? We don't get any good points. So what? We don't finish well. So what? People might call you who knows what. But it doesn't really matter. You'll live to be there another day. Well, what if I was wrong? Dad, I don't care if you're wrong. It doesn't matter. You know, I mean, being led by the Spirit's very important. And we, you know, I believe that God warns us over and over again. You know, and I know that some of you have read this or heard my grandfather minister. He talked about one night he was over a minister's house and they were fellowshipping, having dinner or whatever. And afterwards they were talking and said that they were... my grandfather and my grandmother were getting up to leave. You know how you do when you're talking as you're kind of walking out the door. And he was standing on the front porch, and they were continuing to talk. And so, you know, my grandfather was fixing to go and get into the car and you know, go home. I think that's the word in Houston. I think they're staying in a hotel. But as soon as he did that, he felt on the inside that he shouldn't go home. And at first, he said I was gonna override that because, you know, it was getting late, needed to go. Finally, you know, he knew these people, you know, well enough. He said, "We can't go. I feel a check. Feel a check. Can't go. Can't go now." So he said, "Let's go back inside and talk." He said, "You know, when I get them unchecked, we'll go." So, I don't know, 30 minutes later or whatever, that check left, and they begin to drive back where they're going, and come across a wreck that happened, you know, a few minutes earlier that they quite possibly would have been involved in if they were on that road. You know, and he told that story over and over again. You know, and it really helped me to understand. You know what? It doesn't matter if you feel that you shouldn't go or you shouldn't do something. Who cares? I mean, if people think you're weird for, you know, staying another 30 minutes at their house or what, if you have to, sit on their porch. You go on going to bed. I'm just going to sit on your porch. You know, I don't know. Go sit in your car. Play Angry Birds or something, you know, while you're waiting. Of course, back in this time, they didn't have Angry Birds or anything to do in the car. It'd be kind of boring. I guess, you know, maybe they had a radio, I guess, to listen to, but, you know. There's something you can do to kill time, or maybe, what about praying?
Yes, there you go.
Wouldn't that be a good thing to do?
Yes.
Pray about the situation. You don't know what you're praying about, but you know, I know sometimes that's the last thing we do, think about praying. But I mean, I believe that we are living in a time, and you know, it's a life or death matter. It's a life or death matter. Could cost you your life, and you know, and but man, how many times have you overrode something whenever you know? I mean, I've done it, and you know, we've all done it. You kind of just didn't feel right. I mean, you know, my grandfather always put it this way: it's like taking a bath with your socks on. I've never done that. Anyone ever done that before? I mean, I just always wonder, you know, because you know, when my grandfather, when people say stuff, has anyone actually done it? You know, I really can't believe I haven't done it before because I've heard that mentioned so many times. You know, I'm the kind of person that would try it just to see what it feels like. So I encourage everyone to get home and run a bath. Keep your socks on. Take your rest of your clothes off. Only socks. Take a bath to see what it feels like. And give me your report because I'm not going to do it. So, you know, I'm sure one person, yeah, you all laugh, but there's one person out there that's going to go home and do it. But anyway... He says, you know, it just doesn't feel right, like taking a bath with your socks on. I mean, you know, it doesn't feel right. It's abnormal. And so if you feel something abnormal, you know, just do something different. Man, you know, make sure you have peace about things before you go out and do them. And Alexa, continue to always encourage you. I'll always, you know, be there for your kids and your grandkids and things like that. I know I pray for protection over my kids, you know, all the time. All the time. Because kids do stupid things sometimes. You know, so I want the Lord to lead them not to do those stupid things sometimes, you know, that can cost them. And, it's tough. It's tough. You know, sometimes then, you know, people don't understand, well, why did that happen? You know, why did God punish it? I mean, God didn't punish people. You know, God leads us and guides us. And sometimes we don't realize that when he tells us what to do, he also sometimes tells us what not to do, but he's not going to stop you. Do you realize now I understand, you know, sometimes here at church, you know, we have some outbursts of you know, of joy. Sometimes people take off dancing. Sometimes people take off running, you know, and we always got the coach climbing everybody on, you know, see how fast these guys are. No, just kidding. We had a track team. You know, I encouraged Coach Shockley one time to get here with a stopwatch. And some of these kids come by running, you know, just see how fast they are, and let's put them on the track team. You know maybe they run extra fast because the anointing's on them. I don't know. But, you know, you understand, the Lord doesn't make anyone do any of that stuff. The Lord doesn't make you dance. He doesn't make you laugh. He doesn't make you run. He doesn't make you jump up and down. You just feel leading on the inside. For whatever reason, you just get excited on the inside. And you know, the Bible even talks about this, and it says, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Yes. You, when you get a joy that you can't even speak it out, and sometimes you just you just combust somehow. I don't know. And you know, however you do it, I mean, you know, some people run, some people jump, some people, you know, dance, some people stand on their head. I don't know what they do. My mom and dad talk about, there was a minister who used to do cartwheels. I'd invite him to my church twice a year if I went, you know, just to see him do cartwheels. No. He used to do cartwheels when the Spirit of God hit him. So kind of interesting, you know. You know, I wasn't a gymnastic, you know, in gymnastics very much, so I'm not sure I'd be doing cartwheels. But if I did, it'd be on social media, guarantee you. See, I have to watch what I do because it gets on social media all the time. Even though I don't care, that's why, you know, I put the stupidest stuff on my head, you know, and laugh about it, you know, just because you put it on social media and go out and buy it all in the bookstore. That's the most amazing thing about it. You know, when I point out the most stupidest things we have in the bookstore for sale, we sell out. Now, I'm not sure if that means we have stupid people who buy stupid things, you know, or just we have a lot of gag gifts in our bookstore. I don't know. So, I don't know. You know, but like I said, today has been a tough day, but you know what? It's interesting how, you know, God can give us joy in the middle of tough times. He can give us peace in the middle of tough times. But we have to have understanding, you know what? Don't put yourself in a situation. Don't help the devil. You know, a lot of us, unfortunately, you know, we help the devil out. The devil's trying to destroy us, but we halfway do it on our own self. By making decisions. You know, every decision you make comes with consequences. Found that a long time ago. That's whenever I got the heat for the seat paddle when I was a kid. That my parents got at some truck stop in New Mexico somewhere. I always hated that truck stop. I always encouraged my parents not to go by that truck stop, you know, but we would continue to stop there and continue to buy extra paddles. Because I broke about three of them on my rock solid rear. See, that time we used to travel by motorhome, and we traveled out to California, and we looked to New Mexico, and there's a truck stop my parents used to like to go to, and they had those, it's kind of like, you ever been to Cracker Barrel? You know, have all kinds of like, that kind of stuff, and they had the paddle that said, that, you know, one just the paddle that said the heat for the seat on the paddle, so my parents just liked the way that, you know, liked it. I mean, so actually, one time after I broke one, you know, you ever have a super glue, right? Super glue can attach anything. So I said, you know, can I have that as a souvenir? I asked my dad. And so then I went to the store and got some super glue and put it back together. Went after my sister with the paddle, you know, because I have my own paddle. She was an entrepreneur back then, too. Now, my parents didn't believe in sparing the rod because they didn't want to spoil me. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that. You know, You know, they wanted me to live a long life on the earth because they read me that scripture every time I got spanking, so I know that they wanted me to live a long life. Well, actually, they didn't read the scripture. They made me read the scripture. And I always would, you know, knowing psychology, I always would always read the part, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." You know, because I'm not going to stop at the "don't obey your parents" part. I'm going to continue on. And that was loud. I stop off right there and say, okay, wait for my spanking now. So, I deserved every spanking I got, so I'm not really, well, 98% of them. My sister probably deserved the other 2%, but, you know, maybe if more 5%, she probably deserved them. But, I deserve most of them, so I'm not angry about it. I came out okay. I'm assuming I wasn't psychologically damaged like they tell some people are going to be. But I learned that right from wrong. I mean, you do things, you get punished. Yeah. You know, there's punishment. And then as I got older, I began to understand the value of money. So my parents figured out that I could endure a spanking, but taking away my money, that was bad. Yeah. So they gave me new punishment, take away my money. You know, and of course, the Bible says, you know, money's where your heart is. And it was more effective on me at the time. So it was about money. Now, the interesting part about it was I would get money, but wouldn't spend it. I would save it. But anyway, God's a good God, though.
Yes.
And I just want to, just to reconfirm and, you know, just let us understand the devil is out to get you. It's his purpose in life. And every day, understand that. He's out to get you.
Yes.
Don't be in fear about it, but be led.
Right.
Just be led. And I know a lot of times we use that word "be led" and be led. We always think it means that, sit around and pray forever. No, be led means watch where you go, watch what you do.
That's right.
Be careful. You know, if you think you shouldn't go that way home, don't go that way home. If you there's been one time I was actually headed home and I turned the wrong way just because I felt not to go that way. Actually went out of my way, went around another block, went another square mile, basically, to go home just because I just felt a leading not to go. I don't know why.
Right.
Maybe I wanted to see more extra scenes. I don't know. Don't know why. Just felt the leading to do it. And I did. Anything happen? Nope. So I don't know. I don't know what would happen if I went the right way. I don't know. But you know what? I'd rather have the "I don't know" and be here
than
the "I know" and something tragic happened.
That's right.
You know? And so just be on guard. And, like I said, we have to identify the devil. Identify that he's trying to get us. I understand that. But once you identify him, then you resist him. Tell him he has no power, no authority in your life. But remember, it says be led by the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. The steps of righteous man are ordered of God. Put God first, and He'll help you. He'll strengthen you. He'll show you what to do. You'll have a knowing on the inside. I never question. If I have a leading not to do something, I never question it. But I feel like, every time I go to an airport, before I ever get on the airplane, even when I'm sitting on the airplane, I ask the Lord, If I have any kind of check, I don't care if it was a small check, I'm not getting on. I don't care if I already checked my bags, I'm still not getting on. I don't care if I'm going to have to spend the night in the airport, I'm not going to get on. My life is too important. And I don't let somebody else dictate my leading. And that's something else. You need to manage, no one else dictates my leading. I'll give you an example before we go. I know it's time to go. We were at a crusade one time in Phoenix, Arizona, flying the ministry plane, me and my grandparents, and I just had to check not to go home that night. I called the pilot, and the pilot said, we're going to go. There's some weather, but it should be okay. I said, well, I'm not going. Called my grandparents, figured, I tell them about, So, if the pilot says we're going to fly, we're going to fly. But now we have given the authority, unlike a lot of people, to the pilots. The pilot has the ultimate authority based upon the weather to make the best example of what we think we should do or not do. So, if the pilots think we can go, we'll go. I just said, well, I'm just letting you know, I'm not going. I'm not packing, because what we normally would do, pack our stuff, and then after service, we'd leave. I said, I'm not going to pack my stuff. I've already looked at Southwest Airlines flight out tomorrow. I'm going to find Southwest Airlines. The ministry's going to pay for it. You guys have a good time. He said, but Brother Hagin's going down there. You know, Brother Hagin, I mean, Brother Hagin, nothing's going to happen to it. I said, I don't have Brother Hagin's faith. All right? It wasn't about Brother Hagin. It was about me. Because what if Brother Hagin misses it? I mean, I don't know how many times I've heard him minister to people. He said, you know what? I can miss it. I'm only human. What if he misses it? Now, what happened? Moral of the story was that the storm got worse. The pilot said, we're not going to fly, and nobody flew. But see, I had that a long time. I mean, I had hours before anybody else did. I already had that leading. But I was committed to my leading. You know what? Be committed. Don't let someone else talk you into something. Because you know what? I'm not dependent upon somebody else's leading. I don't care how much, you know, more they might know about the ministry or about prayer or following the Spirit. It don't matter. It's my life. It's my God. It's my leading. You know, because I've seen people try to talk people out of it. Well, it'll be okay. You know, no one's ever got hurt on this. No, you know, it's, you know, hey, you know, there's always a first time. And don't let anyone talk you out of it. I just felt really led and really strong just to say that before we close. Don't let anyone talk you out of it, out of your leading. Be strong. Be bold.
Yes.
You know what? If nothing happens, nothing happens. But you'll live to tell it another day.
Amen.
Devil's out to get you. But God's for you.
Yes.
Amen. Continue to pray about stuff. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for each and every person here. We thank you, Father, for this small little words of encouragement from the Bible. Help us always understand that you are leading us and guiding us all the time. And help us to know that the devil's purpose in life is to get us, is to kill us, steal from us, destroy us. But help us to understand that's not your will. That's not your purpose. And that if we'll continue to follow after you, that you'll lead us and guide us and you'll show us the right way to do things and you'll protect us. And we thank you, Father, for each and every person that's here. And we thank you, Father, that when times get difficult around about them, that they'll remember about being led, remember about what to do. Whenever they begin to go through some adversity and whenever they have some questions, that they'll be able to follow after your leading. Father God, we thank you for each and every person. We thank you, Father, for discomforting us. And we thank you, Father, for being with us. We thank you, Father, that you'll just tonight just lift us up higher than before. We thank you, Father, that you know, those that come in with heavy hearts, Father, we thank you that you bring forth peace to us, Father. We need to understand that you're still in control, that you still have the whole world in your hands, and you're still all about everything that we do, and that you are leading us and guiding us every single day. We thank you, Father, for everything that you have done and everything you are doing, both here and around the world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.